Joining us on the programme this morning is an old friend of ours, and it's Niall Hatch of Birdwatch Ireland. Good morning, Niall.
Good morning.
Right, Niall, I wasn't going to do this, but I have to. There is a season turn, and we're actually talking about the roseate turn.
That's right, T-E-R-N.
Yes, not the Bob Dylan song.
Indeed.
Not the Bob Dylan song. Now, this I found very interesting, Niall. Can first of all tell us what exactly the roseate tern is?
Well, it's a bird that it's very important. The Irish populations of them are very important, but it's a bird that most people don't know at all about. It's a seabird. It's quite a small seabird, actually, and it's related to the gulls, but it looks quite different. It actually resembles somewhat like a swallow, an all-white swallow that you'd see but flying out of the sea. It comes to us in the summer months, and they breed at a couple of locations around the Irish coast, and then for the winter they head down to the West African coast, particularly around Ghana. So that's where they spend time. And it's a really beautiful bird. They have a little black cap on their head. The body is mainly white. They have a lovely sort of pinkish flush on the chest, and they have a very long forked tail, just like a swallow.
Right.
And they catch small fish and they plunge into the sea to catch these. And they're really remarkable creatures.
Right. And the thing is, you're mentioning figures there. Apparently, Ireland has about 90%, is it, of the tern population? Well, this particular one.
Of the European population,
yeah.
Yes, we have about 80 to 90% of them. Yes, it's remarkable. It's one of our most important birds. And this is a very rare bird in a global context. It's even though we have that level of population here in Ireland, it's still a very hard bird to see. The main colony is nesting on an island called Rockabill, which is off the coast of Skerries,
yeah,
in North County Dublin. And that's where the vast majority of the European population breeds now. There's over 1,000 pairs of these birds nesting there. And that's a big success. It looked like the species could go extinct in Ireland back in the 1980s. So it's been a real slog for a conservation organisation like ourselves,
yeah,
in conjunction with the National Parks and Wildlife Service and with the Commissioners of Irish Lights. But we managed to turn around the fortunes of this bird, and it's now doing very well. But of course, it is concerning that they're still concentrated in such a small area, because we don't have all our eggs in the one basket, or all our eggs on the one island, as it were.
Right.
So we've also been trying to promote other colonies elsewhere. Now there is a colony of over 100 pairs that nests down in Wexford as well, and there's also a small colony that we managed to establish by using nest boxes in Dalkey in South County Dublin. So that's actually one of the easiest places to see them, because the colony there, it's in sight of land down in Collymore Harbour, so people can go and see them.
Right.
There. And actually, it's attracted bird watchers and nature lovers from all over Europe to see them down in Dalkey, because it's a very hard bird for a bird watcher to get on their list.
Yeah, my sound technician was wondering whether there was in fact a few pairs down in Kilcool.
And there are terns in Kilcool, but it's a different species. We actually have five species of tern breeding in Ireland, and the ones down in Kilcool are the little tern, which is a smaller bird, very similar looking appearance, but it's got a little white patch on its head. It's got a yellow beak with a black tip, whereas the roseate tern has a black beak. Seem like subtle differences, but also that it's a lot smaller. And they nest on the beach down in Kilcool, and actually that's a very rare bird in an Irish context. There are very few breeding colonies. At the moment down in Kilcool, and that section of the Wicklow coast, we have wardens who are living down there all summer, and they're very happy to show anybody the birds if they go down there. So if anyone wants to see the little terns, and I would highly recommend it, they're adorable.
Right.
People can go down to Kilcool and see them.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Rockabill now, and apart from predatory egg collectors,
mm-hmm,
that you were talking about, and apparently you've had to keep this project as much under the radar as possible, but from what I remember of Rockabill Island was that it was a nasty little island which was overrun with rats.
Oh, well, certainly there are no rats on the island at the moment.
Oh, are there not?
No, terns and rats don't mix at all, because terns nest on the ground, you see, so rats,
yes,
rats would eat their eggs. So, no, the island itself is entirely rodent-free, which is vital for the conservation of the birds. And it also has other species of tern nesting there, too. There's common terns and Arctic terns which nest there as well. So it's quite a small island, so it's amazing to have these thousands of seabirds all congregating there. And Birdwatch Ireland actually has a pair of wardens who live out on the island Ireland again all summer,
right.
Monitoring the birds. So that's how we can prevent people like egg collectors or other problems from happening on the island. And also they're monitoring them, they're weighing them, they're putting rings on the bird's legs, little metal rings, so that we can identify them in future. It doesn't do any harm to the bird. And that's how we're able to work out their migratory routes and how long they're living. And they're just sort of generally studying their biology and finding out what works best for them and how we can help conserve them. And, you know, very often we hear stories about doom and gloom in Ireland when it comes to wildlife and nature. This is actually a real Irish success story. It's fantastic. And it's got a lot of international attention as well.
Yeah. From an ecological point of view, is Rockabill a good place for them? I mean, are they in danger at all from any sort of ecological mishaps?
Well, birds like this are always in danger or under threat when they're concentrated in such a localized area. I mean, if something like an oil spill were to happen in the area, that could be catastrophic for the population.
Yeah.
Because they rely on the sea to feed. They're strange. They're seabirds that don't actually swim, but they do plunge into the water, grab fish, and come straight back out.
Right.
And if something like oil were to affect the areas where they would feed or forage for food for their chicks, that could be disastrous for them. So that's one of the reasons we're trying to make sure the population is a bit more diversified in terms of its nesting locations. But the island itself is actually an ideal place for these terns because it's very remote. It's out of reach of most predators. It's nice and safe. There's big numbers of terns there. And what roseate terns particularly want is they want to nest in a colony of other tern species. It's strange. They don't want to be by themselves, species. They want to be with other terns. So it ticks all those boxes, and it's been great to see the population of this extremely rare bird increase over the last few years. It's really good news.
Okay, would you consider, as an organisation, maybe collecting some and trying to establish economy somewhere else in Ireland?
Measures like that tend not to work terribly well because the birds return to the areas where they know and where they hatch themselves, and it's very hard for us to be able to provide that sort of
right.
Course, what would happen is if eggs or anything were taken and moved somewhere else, the parents would desert them, they wouldn't follow, they wouldn't incubate them, and it wouldn't be possible for the birds to be reared by hand. So the best way to do it of all is to try and make the habitat attractive for birds like this so they will colonize by themselves. And one of the ways we've been doing this is through the use of nest boxes. Most tern species won't use nest boxes at all, but roseate terns are very much habituated to them now. And so what we've been able to do down in Dalkey, for example, is to put out on one of the islands there, to put out nest boxes of a identical construction. The terns migrating back up, they recognize these boxes, they know what they are, and they think of them as a nesting site. So they become almost programmed to identify these locations as places they can nest. Now, the nest box, it's nothing at all like the nest box that someone might put on a tree in the garden for a blue tit with a little hole in the front. It's actually a much bigger box that goes on the ground, and it has a little ledge on it and a little opening in the front that the birds can go in and shelter.
Right.
And it's been extremely important for the survival of the chicks, particularly in bad weather, because they can shelter in these boxes and they're protected from the worst of the elements. Without measures like this, the species would go extinct in Ireland and indeed across Europe, which would be a tragedy. So, it's one of these cases where extreme intervention was the only way that we could protect them and save them, and thankfully it's worked.
Right. Niall, according to the calendar, we are in summer.
Yes.
How are we doing as regards, our summer bird flocks?
Well, you see, of course, it's a very important breeding season this year for the birds because the winters, the past two winters, in fact, were extremely cold. And we had some of the severest weather on record. And this, for a lot of our resident birds, particularly the birds that by that I mean the birds that stay in Ireland year-round, birds like robins and blackbirds and many of the birds that people will be familiar with in their gardens, they really have suffered because of that.
Yeah.
And particularly the smallest birds. So birds like wrens, goldcrest, which is actually the smallest bird in Ireland, it weighs only 5 grams, it's a tiny little bird. And they, in cold weather, they do particularly badly. So they tend to suffer a lot from that. And also another bird, the stonechat, which is another resident Irish bird, that's one that's just been decimated across the country. So it's important that they get a good breeding season, produce lots of chicks, and help to repopulate the areas where they've disappeared. That's the way nature works. You have these peaks and troughs, things go up and down, and all being well, hopefully these species will recover by themselves. And they seem, the initial signs so far this year, that they're doing fairly well.
Yeah.
Which is encouraging to see. And certainly I think that the people helping the birds in their gardens have played a big role in that. But of course, then you have things like illegal hedge cutting during the summer. You have things like the awful gorse and scrub burning that's been reported so widely in the media in recent months. And this has a terrible effect on the birds because this comes at the peak of the nesting season. So there's lots of eggs and chicks being destroyed in the nest. But not only that, what happens is that even if the birds survive, their feeding and foraging areas have been destroyed. So there's not enough food for the population to survive, and they slowly starve. So it's you know, in some ways an even crueler death. So so it's really important that legislation protecting, you know, preventing the cutting of hedgerows is properly enforced. I think enforcement in Ireland has been very lax over the years, and that's something that we campaign very strongly to have changed.
Yeah. No, the reason I asked was because certainly this year I haven't noticed as many different species in my own back garden. Now, you know, just in case people think I live on a couple of acres, it's a suburban back garden, but it's badly overgrown, partly for reasons that there are always birds nesting and things like that. But I haven't seen the same diversity this year.
Yeah, we're certainly getting similar reports from many of our members all around Ireland. And I think the weather, the really vicious cold weather in the winter has played a big role in that, because not only did it kill off many of the birds, but it also robbed them of many feeding opportunities. Many plants that they would feed on were killed also. And so that certainly what we have noticed is an increase in birds coming to many areas where the birds are fed, particularly we have large feeding stations. We are getting more birds coming in there, and perhaps coming back earlier after the nesting season, after the chicks have left the nest, than they would have in the past, which would point to the fact that they really are desperate to find food. Because at the moment, obviously, there's lots of little hungry mouths waiting to be fed. But our garden and parkland birds tend to be very resilient, and we're confident that, you know, that they will bounce back fairly well. The birds that we're more concerned about are our farmland birds. Ireland's farmland bird populations are plummeting.
Right.
Birds like the corncrake, which is once so common across Ireland, it's become extremely rare and very, very localized to certain parts of Ireland, particularly Donegal, Mayo, and Galway. So that's one that we're worried about. A lot of our breeding wading birds, like redshanks and snipe and lapwing, they're doing extremely poorly, and we actually have a special campaign and project at the moment to try and reverse those declines and see what we can do to fix that. But of course, as a charity with very limited resources, there's only so much that we can do, and we give it our all, but it needs the political will, and it needs enforcement of laws and legislation, and needs a proper implementation of European Union law as well, because that's where most of our wildlife protection comes from.
Right.
So that's something that we're very worried about. And a bird that we're particularly worried about at the moment is the curlew. The curlew is a real iconic bird of Ireland. Go back a generation or two and everybody in Ireland would have known the call of the curlew. It's just the sound of wild Ireland to me. It's an amazing bird. The breeding population in Ireland is in dire straits. It's heading for imminent extinction if something doesn't happen. And in some ways this has been masked because a lot of bird watchers, even a lot of very experienced bird watchers, they have no problem seeing curlews. We get lots of curlews here in the autumn and in the winter. And it's an easy enough bird to see anywhere around the Irish coast, particularly in estuary areas. And those birds, you see, they're from the populations that breed in Scotland, in Scandinavia, and even, you know, quite a bit within the Arctic Circle. And they migrate down to Ireland for the winter, but then they leave us again. And the actual Irish breeding population, it's you know, in really dire straits at the moment.
Nice.
The ones that stay with us year-round.
Why is that, Niall?
As with a lot of our birds, it's a few things. It's changes to farmland over the last few decades. Sort of reliance on silage monoculture in Ireland has really made a wildlife desert of many formerly very productive areas for birds. There's also problems on the upland areas where they breed, because the curlew is particularly a bird of upland bog regions.
Okay.
And so certainly when you have cutting of bogs, that's a problem for them. It can also cause a disturbance in the area, even if the actual habitat itself isn't damaged. So that's an issue, certainly. And one thing that's affected them a lot, it's strange as it may seem, it's afforestation on upland bog areas. It's conifer plantations being planted where trees have no right being. This has been a real problem for birds like this, because they can't survive in areas where they're taken over by trees. So when we see places, for example, in Wicklow, in the Wicklow Mountains, and Bird Watch Ireland's head office is in Wicklow, so where I'm talking to you from today, so it's an area I know very well. We see these huge Sitka spruce plantations, a non-native tree species that's a very little benefit to wildlife, and this is taking over many of the upland areas where birds like curlews, also birds like red grouse and golden plover, need to nest. And it's just sort of another alteration to the habitat that they just can't cope with.
Right. Okay. So What can people out there do, Niall, in order to try and get the government, you know, to take our wildlife seriously? Because, you know, they've got involved, well, sort of involved in trying to reintroduce, you know, the white-tailed eagle and other birds into Ireland. So why take steps that are going to deplete, maybe, you know, destroy another species and then attempt to bring it back another 50 years or so?
Well, you see, there's various different competing interests at work, of course, and I have to say that the National Parks and Wildlife Service, they do some remarkable work, they do some excellent work in Ireland. Unfortunately, their funding has been slashed as well in recent years. I think that's very short-sighted. In fact, cuts to the heritage sector, both natural heritage and other aspects of Irish heritage, have suffered some of the most severe cuts in recent years. This is the image that we portray to portray abroad. We like to portray this image of Ireland as a very green, environmentally friendly country to attract tourists, and the reality is actually quite different. And I think that it's quite short-sighted to make cuts in these areas, because we're going to hurt ourselves in the long run. Of course, anything that affects the environment too, it's not just about the birds, it's about us humans as well. We rely on exactly the same air, exactly the same water, exactly the same land for our lives as well. So that makes a, you know, when we see something happening with the birds, it means that something's going wrong for us as well. And also, I think a lot of tourists who come to Ireland are quite shocked to find out that it's not anywhere near as green as they thought. They notice a huge lack of trees. This is something, for example, that lots of people mentioned to me, that we have very little broadleaf forest in Ireland. We in fact have some of the lowest level of tree cover in Ireland, in all of Europe. And that's a real shame. It's a real pity. It sort of makes us stick out like a sore thumb compared to other European countries. I mean, if you go across the Irish Sea just over to Wales, you'll see such a diversity of birds and other wildlife in their woodlands there. It's just a world apart. This is what Ireland should look like. And this is quite different, of course, to what I mentioned earlier about the Sitka spruce plantations in upland areas and these non-native tree species. That's a very different thing. Nice broadleaf forests with oak and a few Scots pines and things like that. That's really what Ireland needs, and we're just really lacking in that. So I think sometimes our green image, it's more on paper than in reality.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, look, Niall, as always, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Very informative and very enjoyable. Would you like to give out your website details so that people can log on and find out what the current projects are and things like that?
Absolutely. The web address, it's www.birdwatchireland.ie. Yeah. And people can also find us on Facebook. We have a lovely community on Facebook at the moment. We have thousands of people coming on, sharing their photographs and asking for bird identification tips, asking us all sorts of questions. It's really lovely. We have mystery bird competitions there every day, and it's a really nice community we've built up there for ourselves as well. So people might like to check that out. And there's links, of course, again, to that from birdwatchireland.ie, but you can find us on Facebook itself too.
Right.
And if people want to ever get in contact with us, you can also call us. The phone number, it's 01-2819-878. And also on our website as well, you'll find details of different events and we have all over Ireland, including many around the Dublin area, so that people can come along to those if they want to. They're all free of charge, and it's a great way to learn a bit more about birds. And of course, as a charity, we rely on support from our members and from the general public to help us with this work. And that's one thing that people can really do to help us. So if people are anyway persuaded by our arguments and would like to support this work to conserve Ireland's birds, to keep protecting the roseate terns, to make sure that corncrakes and curlews don't go extinct, well, you could do a lot worse than joining Birdwatch Ireland, and we're very happy to get as many members as we possibly can. And the details are on the website. You can call us again. I give the number again. It's 01-2819-878.
Yeah.
Or you can join at birdwatchireland.ie. And all the money we raise through that, it's spent on conservation. It's our lifeblood, and that's what we use it for. And you also get a lovely magazine that comes out in the post every 3 months. You get a lovely email newsletter every month as well, and you get the opportunity to go to lots of events and nature reserves all around Ireland.
Right, okay. That number again is 2819878. It's an 01 number. Or you can go online, www.birdwatchireland.ie. Again, resources are scarce or scant at this present moment in time. But the thing is, you know, if we allow these species to die out, you know, what are we going to tell our grandchildren? You know, you can talk ad nauseum about curlews and corncrakes and things like that, but if all they've got are pictures, not much good.
Absolutely, it's tragic. And then the point we always make as well, and I've mentioned this on the show before, is that even people who don't have any interest in wildlife at all, or who don't care about this or don't care about birds, people have to realise that because of European Union law, if these species become extinct, or if these declines continue, or if the government, you know, don't implement the European laws correctly and protect the birds, we're facing massive fines as a state from the European Court of Justice. And the Irish state has already been prosecuted several times by the European Commission. Judgments have been made against Ireland on this, and we're already facing massive fines for this. It actually makes much more sense to pay the money up front and to conserve the habitat, to conserve the birds and the other wildlife, rather than wait a few more years and have to pay far increased fines. It's going to cost us a lot more in the long run and do a lot to hurt Ireland's image abroad as well.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, with that, I'll leave you, Niall, but I will be back to you later on in the year for another update.
I look forward to it. Thank you.